Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Timothy chapter number 3, I want to give you some thoughts this morning. I have preached along these lines before. I've never used this exact outline, but I've preached along these lines before here at the church. This past Thursday, I preached at Calvary Baptist Bible College, and then I preached in their Christian school also. I dealt with an older outline out of this passage on Thursday there, and whenever I came back, I sat down in the office and just began studying this passage of Scripture, really the whole book of 2 Timothy again, and just some new thoughts here that I want to leave with you this morning, and I hope that we can find a help from it. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Boy, it's good to be in church this morning. Amen. And I'm glad I'm here today, and I'm thankful for church today. I want to read you one verse, and then we're going to make reference to numerous verses in all four chapters this morning. But look with me, chapter 3, verse number 14. The Bible said this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Again, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I read this the other day. It said, we are one generation away from the evaporation of the church as we know it. We're one generation away from the evaporation of the church as we know it. And can I just say this to you? I agree with that statement. Now, I know the church will always be the body of Christ. Amen's what I mean by that. He said, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church, us as the body of believers, will always be. But I agree with that statement. We're just one generation away from the evaporation, if I could say it this way, of worship or of as meeting together as we know it. Focus on the family. You may agree with them. You may not agree with them. I don't agree with everything with them. But at the same time, I don't agree with everything with me. Amen. But they just released a new documentary about a month ago. Some of you may have watched it. And it's called Truth Rising. If you've not watched it, I urge you to go watch it. You can watch it on YouTube. And it talks about that very thing in that. And I'm going to tell you something. If there's ever been a day that we need to be grounded in what we believe and not moved by every little wave of emotion, it's in the day that we live. But continue. He's saying this, just stay where you're at. Hey, stay grounded. Continue in the things that you know. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while today. Finishing faithfully in a failing world. Finishing faithfully in a failing world. Father, I love you today. Help us, Lord. It's only you can, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Paul, when we come to the book of 2 Timothy, is writing to young Timothy. Of course, he's exhorting him to stay with what he knows and to continue in the faith. One writer said it this way, 2 Timothy can be summed up like this: be faithful to Jesus, guard the truth, endure hardship, and finish well. And can I just say this? Boy, that's a good statement. Again, he said this, be faithful to Jesus. And again today, that's what matters at the end of the day, is that we was faithful to Him. Be faithful to Jesus, guard the truth, endure hardship, finish well. Well, the title says this, finishing faithfully in a failing world. Know what your Bible said, chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. What does that mean? It simply means this. It's harsh, troublesome, dangerous. And I want to say to you today, that's where we're at. We're living in perilous times. goes on to say in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Simply that means there's no self-control to them. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He says, Timothy, there's a day coming that it's going to be like this. No wonder he said in chapter number 1, in verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Why is he saying that to him? Why? Here's the reason why. Because troublesome days are coming. There's a day coming when there will be perilous times. And he says, look, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul is nearing the end of his life. He's nearing the end of his ministry. And he's writing to young Timothy. And here's what he's saying to him. Timothy, you need to remain faithful. You need to continue. You don't need to fall out by the wayside. You don't need to throw in the towel. You don't need to quit. We're nearing the shore. Just remain faithful. Yes, the world may be crazy today. And you know what we say this? Boy, it's a crazy world. It's always been a crazy world. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. It's always been a crazy world. It's been full of murders. Right from the very beginning, it was full of murders. It's been full of crazy people. It's been full of demon-possessed people. It's been full of people that was lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Man, study the Bible. There was one man in the Bible. He was crazy. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know what that means? He had 700 mother-in-laws. Are you hearing me preach this morning? I know we say it's crazy times, but church, it's always been crazy times. The truth of the matter is this, we've never even saw persecution. I mentioned this a little bit on Wednesday night. We've not saw persecution like the Apostle Paul has, or as Daniel did, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And hear me well. If those men could remain faithful, if those men could serve God, if those men didn't throw in the towel, then what is our excuse today? We have no excuse today. They didn't even have a Bible to read out of. Oh, but we have the blessed assurance of this book today. We have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God that they didn't have prior to Jesus ascending back into the heavens. So I say to you today that it's time for us to make up our mind that we're not going to be driven by the waves of the ocean here and there or every emotion that comes, but we're going to determine by the grace of God in a falling world, in a crazy world, in a place where everybody seems that they're going crazy, that we'll stick with the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and we'll continue and finish faithful. Finishing faithfully in a falling world. Here's some things that must happen for you to finish faithful in a falling world. Number one, I would say this, there has to be a genuine conversion. There has to be a genuine conversion. What did he say in verse number 5? Chapter 3, verse 5 says this, having a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What did he say? From such turn away. Here's what he's saying. There's a crowd that says they are one thing, but they're really something else. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you the reason so many, and this is something that's been on my heart for several years, and I'm going to say a whole lot more about it. That dude right there has done rose from the dead. And we're going to do shit here, Brother Robert. You can have him. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you look at the 19 to 30 year olds today that's walking away from the house of God, that after they get married or after they go off to college, and I want to say something to you, there's nothing wrong with a young person getting an education. Nothing in the world wrong with it. I've encouraged my kids to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you better be grounded in what you believe before you go off to school, because they're going to do everything in their power to change your mind from that. And the reason so many, their mind is changed and they go another way is because there has never been a genuine conversion in their life. They have a form of God. They come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night because mom and daddy bring them or mom and daddy make them. Oh, they may sing in a youth choir. They may sing a special song. They may even raise a hand and follow a big group to the altar. They may have even went down to the river and got baptized so many times that every catfish in the lake knows their name. I'm going to tell you something today. If there's never been a time that you realize you was lost and on the road to hell, that you realize that the only way that you was ever going to make it to heaven was through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's never been a time you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to come into your heart based on the authority of this Bible, you're not saved. And the reason so many today are not continuing is because there's never been a genuine conversion. Many have religion without regeneration. They imitate faith, but lack power. Paul reminds Timothy that his faith was real and rooted in the Scriptures. You can't finish. I read this the other day. Said you can't finish a race that you never started. You can't finish a race that you've never started. The reason they're not going to finish right is because they never started. Oh, they had religion. I'm preaching good this morning. And can I just say this? I heard somebody say the other day, you know, a saved person's the meanest person I ever met. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, a religious person is the meanest person you ever met. You hear me? Most judgmental person. They look down their nose at everybody else. They're better than everybody else. Nobody else is as good as they are. Somebody holler amen. Let me tell you what it is. They've got a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And the reason a lot of people will never finish the race is because they've never started it. A car can look polished on the outside, but it still has no engine. And with no engine, it'll not go anywhere. And I just say this to you, religion without regeneration looks right, but it never runs right. It never runs right. Number one, if you're going to continue, there has to be a genuine conversion. But number two, I want you to see this. There has to be a grounded conviction. There has to be a grounded conviction. Look what verse number 10 says. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. What did he say? He said, thou hast fully known my doctrine. There was a genuine conversion, but listen to me, there was a grounded conviction. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. You're not going to change my mind on the doctrines of that word right there. You're not going to change my mind on it. You're not going to change my mind on the doctrine of salvation. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Let me tell you the reason why. I'm grounded in that book. The reason so many young people move back and forth and they're up and down is because they've never been grounded in the Bible. Here's what we say. Now, I need somebody to help me right here. We teach young people all the time. We say this. You need to live right. You need to walk right. You need to do right. You need to listen to the right thing. You need to dress the right way. You need to act the right way. And can I just say, amen, 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 and amen. Yeah, I agree with everybody that. But the problem is this, we never take this book and show them why. Take the Bible and show me why I'm supposed to dress a certain way. We've got to ground ourselves in this book, because I promise you, the enemy out there is more grounded in the Scriptures than most of the Christians are. Why? So they can argue that with you. There's some things I'm not going to argue. When it's fact, there's nothing to argue about. We must be, I hope you understand what I'm saying to you, this, we've got to be grounded. We've got to be grounded. I made mention of this on Wednesday night. I'm reading a book right now that it's Paul Chappell's new book, and it's on focus. It's what it's dealing with. And it's dealing with hitting the reset button and focusing on what really matters. In that book, he was talking about preachers. And he said this. He said, I've seen some preachers, and he said, man, they ride this wave with this group of preachers and talk about this group of preachers over here. But then something happens in this group, and all of a sudden they're over here with this group, and now they're talking about that group. And when they was with this group, they dressed like this group. But when they come over here to this group, now they dress like this group. And it won't be long, they're right over here to some other group and talk about those two groups and dress the way they do. You know what that is? That's confusion. You know what that is? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Church, hear me today. If you're going to finish right, get grounded in the Bible. A grounded conviction. He didn't build his life on the opinions of others. Paul built his life on the doctrines of God's Word. So many people today, I hope you get what I'm preaching to you. So many people today, Brother Matt, that's the way they build their life, is on the opinion of everybody else. Man, I don't build my life on the opinion of everybody else. I build my life on the faith and the doctrines of God's Word. Oh, yes, if you build your standard on the opinions of others, they'll change like the sands of the ocean. Your convictions and standards must be built on the Word of God. Convictions are not preferences. They're truths worth dying for. The way I believe a man gets saved is not a preference. That's not, I'm willing to die with that. I'm going to die with that one day. Grounded, man. Grounded in our conviction. I say this again, and I know I've mentioned our young people several times, but society will try their best to change you. Some in the church will try their best to change you. I'm running well. They'll try their best to pull you down, and they'll try their best to, what they think, pull you up to their standard. Hear me, get in that Bible. Sit down with your mom and daddy. Let them teach you the Word of God and get grounded in that, and don't let nobody change you from it. Just because methods change doesn't mean convictions change. The message that I preached 20 years ago when I come to Amazing Grace is still the same. The blood, the book, the blessed hope. That's it in a nutshell. The message that I started preaching next year will be 30 years that I've been preaching. And Brother Justin, I can stand today and say I have not changed my message. But listen to me. Times change and methods change. Here's a for instance. When I come to Amazing Grace, if we weren't going to have service on Sunday morning, me and Brother Robert talked. We decided that
Brother Robert said, Miss Christie will call this one, this one, and this one. I said, I'll call this one, and this one. And we got everybody covered. Yesterday, I done a call them all, and it went out to almost 200 numbers in a matter of seconds. Now, are we wrong for using that? No. And here's you, for instance, prior to 2020, y'all remember 2020, don't you? Prior to 2020, how many preachers did you hear get up and absolutely blast social media? Bless God, I wouldn't be on it. I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. It's out of hell. Go look on their Facebook page today. Did you catch what I just said? And listen to them preach this morning. Times change. Methods change. But convictions never change. The truth of the matter is this. If you go back 35 years ago, the way Brother Easter done things and the way I do things today are completely different, I guarantee you. Does that mean he was right and I'm wrong? Or I'm right and he's wrong? No, our convictions stay the same. I hope you're hearing the preacher this morning. And just because a method changes does not mean you're a compromiser and you're changing your doctrine. Be grounded in your convictions. Be grounded in it. There's some things that I'll die for. I have some preferences. And if you agree with them, okay. And if you don't, okay. Did you hear what I just said? I have some but I have some convictions that I'm grounded in, and I'm not changing on them. Number one, there's a genuine, if you're going to make it, if you're going to continue, number one, there's a genuine conversion. Number two, there's a grounded conviction. But watch this. Number three, there's a great conflict. It's going to happen. I preached all morning to get right. It's going to happen. There is a great conflict. Look in verse number 11. He said in verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And then verse 11, he says, persecution, affliction. He goes down to verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says this, for Demas hath forsaken me. He says in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. He says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. There's some conflict. Matter of fact, Demas, the Bible said, for Demas hath forsaken me. You know what that word Demas means? It means of the people. That's what it means, of the people. And when you become of the people, you will forsake the things of Christ. Said, Demas hath forsaken me. There was a conflict that came in his life. Demas deserted him. Alexander resisted him. Others abandoned him. It's going to come. The people that you think will be the closest to you and will stick with you through thick and thin. This past Saturday, a week ago yesterday, was a wonderful day. We got to see Madeline get married, and man, I'm telling you, it was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, if you'd have said, who would be, name the preacher, some of the preachers that would be at your daughter's wedding, I'd have named some that wasn't here. Let me tell you the reason why. People's going to forsake you. People's going to go. Anybody hearing the preacher this morning? There will be conflict. They're going to go away from you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to run you down. And you know what I've come to find out? that hypercritical crowd that's usually, that's the ones doing it. Let me tell you what I've come to find out. Usually it's because of this word right here, jealousy. It's because of jealousy. I've not changed one thing. I've not changed the way that I preach. I've not changed the Bible I preach out of. There will be conflict. But you have to go back to what you're grounded in the midst of conflict. You have to go back. I'm not grounded in a person. I'm grounded in the truths of God's Word. There was a great conflict. Know what he says, chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know what he said? He said, even though everybody else may have forsaken me, the Lord stood with me. There was, number one, a genuine conversion, a grounded conviction, a great conflict. Watch this, number four. There has to be, I want you to hear me this morning, there has to be a God-breathed confidence. A God-breathed confidence. You're in chapter 3, look in verse 16. All. If you underline in your Bible or you write in your Bible, circle that word, underline that word, put a star by that word, all. All Scripture. You know what that means? Every bit of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed of God. What did he go on to say? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And look what he says in the last verse, in verse 17. Why is it this way? That the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What really matters is this. Does my life line up with this book? Not with your opinion, but with this book. There has to be a God-breathed confidence. Look up here just a minute. It's either right or it's not. It's either right or it's not. There's either heaven and hell or there's not. Jesus really came, suffered, bled, and died, and ascended back into the heavens, rose again, ascended back into the heavens, or he didn't. But can I tell you something? It is right. It's God-breathed. From Genesis to Revelation, every bit of it's right. Every jot, every tittle, there's nothing in it that's wrong. There's no discrepancies in it. You say, well, whenever you read the synopsis Gospels, you'll find that Matthew says things a little bit different than Mark, and Mark says things a little bit different than Luke, and Luke says things a little bit different than John, and Matthew says it this way, but Mark said it that way. You know what every bit of that is? Every bit of that is a man's view. It is breathed by God as he tells the story of what he saw. Every person in here will walk out of this building and tell the service a different way. There is no discrepancies in the Word of God. And you're going to have to come to a place, no matter how young or how old you are, that you put your faith, you put your confidence in the Word of God. It's in that book. Said, preacher, I think you ought to do things this way. I'm going to do it according to the Bible. Said, preacher, I think you ought to dress this way. I'm going to dress according to the Bible. Said, preacher, I think you ought to live this way. I'm going to live according to the Bible. You want me to tell you the reason why? When I get to heaven one day and I stand in the presence of a holy God and he judges me, the Bible says that he will take the books out. You want me to tell you what that is? It's this book that I hold in my hand right now. It's not something that you've narrated in your mind. It's not something that you've thought up, that you think it ought to be. No, that's not what I'm going to be judged by. I'm going to be judged by this book that I hold in my hand. So you better ground yourself in this. A God-breathed confidence. It's right. It's right. Amen. It's right. Number five, I'm done. Come start playing. There's a genuine, that sounded really bossy, didn't it? Get up here, bless God. Number one, there's a genuine conversion. Number two, there's a great piano player. Number two, there's a grounded conviction. Number three, there's a great conflict. Number four, there's a God-breathed confidence. Number five, there's a glorious completion. Is that not what we're interested in? Is that not what we're really interested in? A glorious completion. Chapter 4, look at verse 6. Man, I love my Bible this morning, don't you? He said, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." He's at the end of his life now. Paul says to Timothy, "Hey, buddy, I fought a good fight." I don't believe that Paul is saying this pridefully or arrogantly, but he's looking at a young man and he's saying this: "Son, the things that I've taught you from your youth, you study 2 Timothy. I've taught you to be grounded. I've taught you to stay with the Scriptures. This is the things that I have done. And now that I'm laying on my deathbed," he says this, "I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul just didn't start well. He finished well. He looked back with no regrets and looked ahead with a great reward. He fought courageously. He finished completely. And he kept the faith consistently. Paul's message to Timothy and to us is simple: finish faithfully. Even though the world may be failing, finish faithfully. Maybe he reminded him of this. Maybe he looks at him and says, "Timothy, let me just give you some more scripture. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Maybe he said, "Let me just give you a little bit more. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I don't know about you today. I can't testify for no other person in this room. But I do know this, that the days that I have left, I want to give it everything. Me and my good friend, Brother Kevin Roy, here was eating lunch on Friday or on Thursday. We began talking about that. I just want to give it everything. No reserve, no retreat, equals no regret. Finishing well, to conclude it, I would say this: be sure of your salvation. Be steadfast in truth. Be strong in trials. Be settled in the Scripture. And just remain faithful to the finish. Just remain faithful to the finish. I want you to hear me out. Okay? Don't nobody hear me out in what I'm fixing to say. I understand Jesus could come back at any time. I understand that. I understand the condition of our world today. I've watched it more the past month than I have in a long time, because I'm fixing to leave the country for a few days or over a week on a missions trip. So I have really paid attention a little bit more than I normally do. Are you with me? And then can I just say this? A lot of things, we was just talking about this over here in the Amen Corner a while ago. A lot of the mess that you see on the news, don't believe it. Man, I'm telling you. It the lies that media produces today, the scare tactics, that they're trying to kill the economy because they can't stand that somebody that stands with Israel's back in president and God's blessing America again. They can't stand that. So they're trying to kill the economy. I want you to just hear me out. I understand the world is crazy. Our community's crazy. It really is. It's crazier than what a lot of people knows that it is. A lot more happens in our county than a lot of people ever even know about. Brother Justin could testify to that from all of his years working in the county in law enforcement. Now, if you don't like where your tax dollars goes, that's the man to complain to. He's the one that looks after it now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus, man. I mean, they done a newspaper article on it. Nobody probably read the newspaper, but I understand it's crazy. I understand Jesus could come at any time. I believe that. But they have been preaching Jesus is coming back ever since he left. And the world's been crazy ever since Jesus left. I'm just being honest with you. The truth of the matter is Jesus may not come back for another 100 years. I don't know. He may come back in the next 5 minutes. But if he doesn't come back, I'm speaking at the Magnify Conference on time management. If Jesus doesn't come back, over half of my life is probably gone. When I look at my family, I look at the deaths in my family, when the men died in my family, my grandfathers, uncles, over half of my life is gone. And I'll just be real honest, I wasted a lot of it. And if there's ever been a day that I want to lift up high the bloodstained banner for the rest of my life, it's today. I want to finish right. I've not always run right. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was talking about our church, and he was talking about the music and how God had blessed. He said, I just stand amazed at what God is doing at it. And here's what I told him, and I mean this with all my heart. I said, if they had a good pastor, it'd be unreal what would happen up there. I've missed the mark on a lot of occasions. But I sure won't starting today to give him everything. I can't do nothing about today back. Not one thing. I can't do one thing. Brother Brian, I can't go back and redo any of it. But you know what I can do starting today? I can say, God, here's all of me. I'm going to ground myself in your scriptures. I know that I'm saved. I know that. I'm going to ground myself in it. I'm going to exit myself to Pharisaical opinions. Because I'm not standing before them. I'm standing before Christ. And with everything in me, I want to run and run well till I'm done. But continue. Paul said, Timothy, son, just stay with it. Just continue. I wonder this morning how many more would say, preacher, that's just what I want to do. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to get your eyes on other people. You're going to have to exit yourself from that church. You're going to have to ground yourself. You're going to have to ground yourself in this, in your convictions in this. You're going to have to ground it in this right here and say, hey, I'm going to finish faithfully in a failing world.